Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Navigating Your 20s. Today, I'm joined by Spud Marshall.
Thanks for having me.
I know that you actually wrote a book recently, and it's called Designing Creative Communities. And one of the concepts in your book that you talk about is a fixed versus a growth mindset. And I wanted to ask you, just for anyone who doesn't know what that means, to elaborate, because it's fascinating to me.
Yeah, so there's some really great research around this that you can go look into the difference between a fixed and a growth mindset. And the difference here is that people that have a fixed mindset tend to be someone who has one singular thing that they are deeply passionate about, and they pursue that at all costs. And we all know people in our life that probably fit that bill. The opposite of that is something called a growth mindset. And a growth mindset is, rather than fixating on a singular passion, you're actually developing passions. You're following your curiosity and you're developing them in the process. And what they find are folks that have a growth mindset are far more flexible and achieve more in life because they're not willing to get stuck in a rabbit hole. If we have a fixed mindset, we think those are the people that are going and building crazy companies or creating big things in the world. But actually, when that thing doesn't go right for them, they don't have the ability to adapt and they can't change course and find a new lane. They have a real difficult time doing that. Whereas people that have a growth mindset that are following their curiosity have that muscle developed. They know how to adapt and to change and to find a new lane. And that's so critical for our generation. We need to have that skill because we no longer find ourselves in one career path or one organization. We are constantly adapting. And so learning to kind of flex that growth mindset muscle, I think, is really, really critical.
I think a growth mindset would benefit your overall happiness too, because if you're so single focused and you're gaining a lot of your fulfillment and happiness from one source, oftentimes it's like they say, don't put all your eggs in one basket. If that starts to go south or there's some problems at work and that's your single focus or passion, suddenly the rest of your life is going to be impacted as well.
And I think this is where this challenge of imposter syndrome comes from, right? There is another study that found that 70% of the US population feels imposter syndrome. So in a room of four people, three of those people feel like they're a fraud, that they don't have it all together. And when we live in a culture where it's this expectation that you have to have this singular passion, that you have to have this really fixed perspective on things, we live like we're a fraud and we are afraid to actually speak up and say differently. And so I think recognizing that most people in your life feel like an imposter, if you can identify that, it helps destigmatize it for yourself. It's okay if you don't know something. Growth mindset says, go explore it. Be curious. Follow that curiosity and see what you might learn. You don't have to have it all together, and that's totally okay.
So speaking of imposter syndrome then, do you have any tips for when you're feeling imposter syndrome to directly take actionable changes to help beat it? I mean, yes, of course, everyone would realistically want to just don a growth mindset out of nowhere, but sometimes that might be really uncomfortable for a lot of people.
I'll answer that with a very quick story. Many years ago, I was really curious about the field of education. I wanted to know where did education space look like it was going in the next 10, 20 years? What are some alternative pathways that are forming? And I also wanted to go to this conference out on the West Coast. I didn't know how to get there because I was not making any money at this point in my 20s. And so I convinced people to start this road trip where we got an RV and we got a film crew. We put the film crew in the RV and we drove cross country filming leaders in education the whole way across the country for multiple weeks. And then we ended at this conference and presented a lot of our stuff and we filmed people there. This was one of these crazy growth mindset projects that just sort of started to form. And on the very first day of this trip, we got the RV. We had a giant sticker on the outside of it. It said Educate 2020. That was the name of our project. And we're leaving from State College, right? That was my hometown. And I get this RV and I was like, I'm going to take a celebratory photo as we're leaving. And I pull it up outside of the big football stadium and we take this photo of this giant RV. We're about to embark on this month-long road trip. And I drove this RV into the deepest mud that you could imagine. And the RV was stuck. Within 3 minutes of leaving for our month-long trek, I get this RV dramatically stuck in a pile of mud. The cops came. I got fined for destroying like private property. I mean, all kinds of stuff went down. And it took us hours to like get unstuck and trucks pulling us out. I mean, it was this nightmare. We were late to our first destination in New York to film people. And that entire trip, I felt like an imposter. I was like, who am I to be running this crazy project that I mean, clearly I'm not qualified. I drove the RV into a pile of mud, right? I'm not the person that should be running this. And whenever I felt that, and I would be driving in this very reflective moment, driving down these famous highways across the country, and I'd look in the rearview mirror thinking I'm an imposter, and I would look and I would see these flashing lights in the rearview mirror, like a flashback to like that very first night. And I realized that sometimes imposter syndrome is really this what's worth doing signal. And we can reframe things, because imposter syndrome is really us feeling like, ooh, this is a bit of a stretch for me. I don't feel like I've got it all together. And those are the moments where you're going to grow the most, where you're going to be able to look back on and be super proud of like, whoa, I created something that stretched me. And that's what that road trip was for me. I learned a lot. And so when I now experience that imposter syndrome, I think imposter syndrome is nothing more than a signal to tell you what's worth doing. It's your internal little alarm clock saying, ding, 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 pursue this. It's not going to feel cozy. It's going to stretch you a lot. But if you get past it, there's a likelihood that you're going to look back on that and be really fond of, wow, I grew, I started something new, I have something I can point to. And that is what your 20s is all about, creating those opportunities. So imposter syndrome is the best gift that you can have for yourself, because it's telling you what's worth doing.
Some people, in addition to imposter syndrome, might have a really large fear of failure. You're hesitant to take risks because you're afraid of embarrassing yourself or failing in front of people, because you feel that everyone's watching you. And especially in the age of social media, that can definitely be exaggerated as well. So do you have any tips for navigating a fear of failure in your 20s that would probably prohibit you from taking risks?
So I think we avoid doing anything because exactly we're afraid of failing, because we chalk failure up as the bad thing. But if you just reframe that, do the opposite. Challenge yourself to fail as many times as you can. And success is actually failing. And so there's this story of this guy, and he was going to see a counselor, and he was having a really hard time asking women on dates. He's like, I've got this person I'm interested in. I want to ask her out on a date, and I don't know how to. I'm afraid to do so. And the counselor or the coach told them, all right, here's what you're going to do. Forget about that person. You're not allowed to ask that person out on a date until you ask 50 other people out on a date, and they all need to say no to you. So you need to chalk up 50 no's before you're allowed to even entertain the idea of asking this person that you're actually interested in out on a date. And, you know, he was kind of intimidated, but he went back and he just started asking people, and they just started saying no to him. And he got so excited. He's like, I've got to chalk up 50 no's before I'm allowed to actually do it. And suddenly he wasn't afraid of asking somebody out on a date, because checking off that failure is actually what you're trying to achieve. So when you reframe your brain to think that way, whatever that is for you, right? If you're afraid of failing at something, just challenge yourself to go collect as many no's. And that will hopefully retrain your brain to be like, no isn't a bad thing, because it's actually helping me accomplish whatever my goal is, right? So it's this flip mentality. I do an activity called Daring Greatly with a lot of groups that I lead. And the idea is you've got to go collect as many no's as possible within an hour. And I went out with a group of friends once, and I just started walking door to door telling people that I was a spoon collector. And I would just knock on people's doors. Folks, I had no idea who they were. And I was like, hey, my name's Spud. And I actually have this really robust spoon collection. And I was wondering if you could give me a spoon to add to my collection. And everybody gave me a spoon. Like,
what?
Everyone. And I went door to door, and I was like, I'm trying to get people to say no to me, and I couldn't. And I think that's the ironic thing, is when you're trying to fail, it's actually really difficult sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, people give you spoons because you act confident, and yeah, okay, this guy's a spoon collector. He wants a spoon. And so I think when you do that in a really playful way, it helps you embrace the bigger challenges in your life, where failure feels way more important. It's like, okay, if I don't collect a spoon, it's not the end of the world. But that's kind of a playful way to retrain your brain.
And confidence is so important too. I think with a lot of people, when they're thinking about this fear of failure, they come off as so insecure when they're going about things, rightfully so, because that's how they're feeling. But you're so right. Confidence is a game changer, because when you are confident in something, and when you show that, you know what, even if this doesn't work out, I'm going to be strong, I'm going to learn from it. It's a growth opportunity. It's a learning mindset that I have on right now. People can sense that confidence.
Yes.
And they'll be more willing to trust you. And I think for me too, thinking about failure and imposter syndrome and all these different things that might hinder you from taking risks, it's so important to have conversations with friends about these things, because oftentimes I found for myself that when I've talked to someone about how they've failed, it's more normalized for me. It personalizes a story. I mean, even you talking about the spoons and all of that, it's a funny story.
Right.
Or talking about the guy that tried to go on all these dates and kept getting rejected. It allows you to be like, oh, okay, you know, rejection and failure is not the worst thing in the world. It's really minor in the grand scheme of things. And so I'm so passionate about building a community of friends who support you through your failures and who encourage you to keep going because they see your potential.
Absolutely. And I think having that friend group that have your back, right, that are willing to do those crazy spoon collecting, daring greatly activities together, those are the friendships you're going to look back on and cherish the most in 10, 20, 30 years, right?
I always say I want to surround myself with people who inspire me to be the best version of myself. And so a big life goal of mine recently is to prioritize certain friendships and relationships where I feel that we are constantly building each other up. And that might be through having hard conversations where we're talking about really deep and difficult things that we're struggling with and trying to figure out. But you want people who are like, you know what? I validate you and now I'm going to challenge you. Here's right. how you can do better. Here's how you can take this risk because I'm your support system. You can fall back on me.
Totally. I mean, when you have that support network, right, there's always going to be one person in that group that is like willing to take risks.
Yeah.
Cool. Lean on them when you're trying to overcome that fear of failure, right? And there's one person that's always going to be really good at asking the hard questions. Lean on them when you want to have a group conversation, right? So everybody has their strengths they bring to the table. Don't expect like you have to be able to do all of this perfectly. Lean on the friends that you're building and those friendships that are going to be extra strong because of that.